Now will you notice, verse 12, for which cause I also suffer these things. Now he's in prison. Sentence of death is upon him. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. And that's very important for us to note here. Paul says, I'm not ashamed. And that's one of the words that appears here. Paul said to the Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And he urges Timothy not to be ashamed either. Back there in verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Now, sometimes people are reluctant, Christians, to witness. I'm amazed that we are all tongue-tied at times, but we ought not to be. I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, that which I have committed unto him should be that which has been committed unto me, or better still, my deposit. He's made a deposit with me, and that's what made him debtor to the entire world. And you and I are debtors today. We hear Christians say, I pay my honest debts. You and I haven't paid our honest debt until every man on top side of this earth hears the gospel. Now, he says that he's able to keep it. And that, my friend, is a great comfort today to know that we are in his hands. Now he says here, verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words. And I insist that the words of Scripture are inspired. I believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of the Word of God. And I do not believe that any other viewpoint is satisfactory and certainly does not satisfy Scripture. We're going to have occasion to talk about that later in this epistle. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwelleth in us. And that is important to see that the Christian life is only lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because this thing he talked about back there of power and of love and of a sound mind, that's all the fruit of the Spirit of God. Now, verse 15, this thou knowest, that all they who are in Asia turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. And Paul really calls them by name, does he not? Those that have been unfaithful here. And these apparently had been unfaithful. It's quite interesting to note here that back in the first epistle, he says some have fallen away. And now here in 2 Timothy, he says all have forsaken me. Some had forsaken him before. I call your attention to that because there have been several that have called attention to it. It seems to me that the apostasy is not the thing that characterizes the last days, but you're going to see it, and we have seen it, through the entire history of the church. I had a church history professor one time said that the history of the church is the history of apostasy, or, as he put it, the history of heresies. Well, how true that's been, and I think that's the point Paul has in mind. Now he said, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me, was not ashamed of my chain. Well, here is a wonderful saint of God. I'd love to have been Onesiphorus, and I'd hated to have been Hermogenes. Now he says, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. Isn't that lovely? Paul's in prison. But this man, probably there on business, an important businessman, he looks up Paul. Probably Paul led him to the Lord. And you can't despise the man who led you to the Lord, that is, if you've been genuinely led to the Lord. Verse 18, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. And I take it that he lived in Ephesus, made a trip over to Rome. Apparently, do you gather from this epistle, there's a great deal of travel in the Roman world of that day.